And it just occurred to me how held we are by life and how taken care of we are by life. And it really helped me to slow down and lean back and like, wow, like if the amount of people it took for this sandwich to be in my hands, like I'm good. Like I'm just gonna go try more stuff and see what else occurs because I know I'm taken care of. And I think as entrepreneurs or founders or business or people, like I think that we often miss that. We don't think we're taken care of. We think it's on us, and then we approach life from a very, well, am I taken care of? And like it's kind of a fear-based approach that doesn't look like fear. Like, well, I'm just being conservative, I'm being protective, I'm being safe.
Responsible.
I'm being responsible because, you know, like if I don't do it, I'm gonna die. Or like, no, who has my back? Nobody's coming to save you. And we don't see that you are taken care of in so many beautiful ways.
Välkommen till podden Human Change med Daniel Magnusson. Fastnar du ofta i tankar kring oro, stress och irritation? Tror du att allt beror på att det är fel på dig? Då vill jag välkomna dig till podden som guidar dig till förståelse om hur vi människor fungerar egentligen. Genom denna förståelse kan vi leva ett liv fullt av kärlek och harmoni. Ditt ljus och hopp när allt verkar mörkt och hopplöst. Så låt nu Daniel guida dig till den stillhet vi alla letar efter. Där slutstationen är välmående och glädje. Lyssna och njut.
Välkommen till Human Change med mig, Daniel Magnusson. And now I will switch to English because today I have Nikon Gormley here on the podcast. And Nikon is a transformative coach, founder, martial artist, educator, and CEO. And he is based in Bangkok, Thailand. And he helps leaders, entrepreneurs, and business owners realize their greatest resource, their innate wisdom, health, and capacity for insights. And I could say Sawadikap and welcome.
Sawadikap. Sawadikap.
Yeah, nice to have you here.
It's a pleasure. It's such an honor to be here. I've been following your work on LinkedIn, and I feel very like, wow, like I'm on Daniel Magnusson's podcast. Check this out.
Well, thank you. Thank you.
I've made it.
Yeah, you made it. You can lean back now. Well, definitely not. So, but it really, really nice. And I also listening to your podcast because you're also a podcast host. I didn't mention that, but you're a podcast host, and you do a podcast both in English and then also in Thai.
In Thai, right. Yeah. That's right.
That's nice. And you have that on, because I have seen it on YouTube.
Right, on YouTube, because that's the only place I know how to put it on right now. So I'm still in the learning curve of podcasts. And for some reason, when I think about podcasts, I always enjoyed seeing the people talk to each other and seeing their facial expressions. And that's why I was inspired to first put it on YouTube. There's a podcast coming later that's only voice. But right now, I just enjoy putting it on YouTube and letting people see the faces and the expressions. And
Yeah, so same with here, because I've been doing only voice for a long, long time. And then this autumn, in autumn 2022, I started doing it, also publishing on YouTube, because I felt like, yeah, it's going to be a hustle to both edit video and then sound, or first sound, but now I do it at the same time. So works easily. Tell me a little bit about yourself, because your background, you've been, I know you've been and doing Taekwondo in really high level.
Yes. So I was born and raised in Thailand. I'm half American. So my father is American and my mother is Thai. My father is a really well-known glass artist. So I grew up watching him create the impossible for his whole career. He's a self-taught glass artist, engineer, business owner. You know, I didn't know the greatest resources was with me this whole time. So I went to school in Thailand, and then I moved to America, to Washington, D.C., to live with my aunt, to go to business school, because I really wanted to prove to my father that, you know, I'm going to go learn the real way how to do business, not this, you know, follow your insight bullshit, you know. After 4 years and a lot of money, I was wrong. He was right. I moved back to Thailand, and I kind of started my corporate career. But during that whole time, I was playing Taekwondo as a sport, first as a martial art, and then it evolved into a sport. And I competed all around the world. I competed in Mexico, in the US, in France, in Korea, in Thailand. I played on university teams, on state teams, on provincial teams. I won a lot. I lost way more, you know. And that was my real deep passion. I think you could say it saved my life, because it was the thing that grounded me. I think life handed this martial art to me to ground me. Like, okay, young man, this is what you need. As a young man, I need a lot of structure, and just grounding. I needed to move my body. I had a lot of energy. And so having the sport where I could kick, I could yell, I could grow, I could follow my dreams. And my first dream was to be an Olympic athlete. And I followed that the best I could until about 33. I'm 37 this year, but it just wasn't something that was in the cards. But this passion took me all around the world. It really gave me a great preparation for the insight of understanding, which I discovered later in my life. Because the Taekwondo really inspired me to become a better human. Like, okay, I'm training my body, so I got to train my mind too. So I'm going to study all the personal development, all the spiritual development things. I'm going to study like law of attraction, visualization, affirmations, NLP, whatever it took, because I'm going to get that gold medal and these things are going to help. And of course they didn't. I think they made it worse. And I remember right towards the end of my Taekwondo career, and similar to you, I had found Michael Neal on a Mind Valley program. And it really, I don't know what I heard, but I heard something. I heard something that made me go back and listen to it 20, 30 times. Because I heard something what I heard was, I'm fine. And this was very different than, I think, what the approach I had been following before, which is, you're a piece of shit and you need to like do all these things to make yourself better in order to win, to have a successful life, to be wealthy, et cetera. And I remember I was competing at the Thai National Olympics, my last one, actually. And I remember, you know what, this one, like, I'm not even going to try all my rituals for confidence or visualization. I'm just going to go out and have fun. I'm going to go enjoy myself. I'm just going to go be me, regardless of medals or not medals. Like, I'm just going to go enjoy. I performed the best I ever performed my whole life in that National Olympics. And I got a bronze medal. I fought against the number one seed and had a great time fighting him. And then I really saw something, because I'm holding results in my hand. I'm holding his bronze medal. I'm on TV. There's a big picture of me. And I'm like, it's like, it looks like the Olympics. It's the National Olympics, but you're on a podium and people get flowers. I got a little doll. And I'm like, where was this my whole life? This thing that I'm seeing, that I don't need to do all this stuff to be better. And then I've always also been passionate about personal growth and development, spiritual development. So then I just dove right in. I studied as much as I could. I took all the courses. I hunted down all the teachers in this understanding, like Mavis Karn and Dr. Bill Pettit, George Pransky. And since then, my life kind of took a different route. Mm-hmm. And I say that because I really thrived on control. And I'm going to visualize, I had a vision board, I'm going to plan my mind out, and I'm going to try and get these goals every year to achieve success. And none of it ever worked out. I always felt bad because I never measured up to any of the goals or things that I set for myself. And I said my life changed direction because since coming into the inside out understanding, I was just way more gentler with myself. And things started to happen in my life that were way better than I ever hoped or expected. The people I met, doing podcasts, meeting people like yourself in Sweden, watching my Taekwondo business thrive in ways I never thought possible, and just being a lot more happier and calm within myself, and being more, I'm going to just say the word, dare I say content. And it's really weird because I'm looking back now about in my past, I'm thinking, wow, if I would have said like, wow, I'm content, that was like a bad word because mm-hmm. you were never supposed to be content. You know, yep. you're always supposed to be growing. Content's a bad word in like high achievers and high performers. Uh-huh. But now I can say I wake up and I'm genuinely content with life.
Yeah.
And what I've noticed is the more content I am, it's almost like I've surrendered what I want and I just enjoy wherever life is taking me in the winds and the sails. And I'm having a great time. Like next week, I'm hosting an international retreat in Phuket. And week after that, I'm doing a corporate session on leadership, like things. If you had told me 5 years ago that these are some of the things you'd be doing, I'd think like those things aren't on our vision board, like you know. But now I think I have a deeper. I was listening to a podcast this morning. There's trying to have faith and there's just having faith, mm-hmm. and I feel like where I am at now in my journey is just having faith instead of okay, I'm going to try and believe this. It's I'm not trying anymore. I just know. Yeah.
Yeah, and it's because the other way is more like feeling hope, genuine hope, compared to hoping and fingers crossed and like really yeah hope.
Yeah.
And I definitely recognize myself in your story. Not the Taekwondo. I done some karate and Krav Maga and stuff, but long time ago and. No level at all. But anyway, regarding the being content,
mm-hmm.
because before I was mentioning a lot like, yeah, never be content, never be satisfied, yeah. grateful, yes, but never, like, yeah, fight for yeah. stuff. And because I had the belief that if I am content, I will stop doing things.
Same. And if I stop, I'm going to lose because everybody else is just hungry.
Yeah,
and
exactly.
It was around that time, I think it was a guy named Eric Thompson came out with like motivational videos of like, if you're going to get it when you want it as bad as you breathe, and you got to always want it. You know?
Yeah.
And I bought into that, not realizing now that wanting it so bad is simply lack, mm-hmm. is seeing the lack because you do want it so bad.
Yeah.
And now seeing, to me, it looks like truth of content is where it's at. It's the space where life can guide you and point you in directions and take you to magical places.
Yeah. Yeah. And suddenly you start to achieve things, I would say more easily and still work hard, but it's not hard work like that you suffer at the same time you are working, right?
Yeah, I've definitely been there along the journey. I've taken a corporate job or two, some very senior management positions in big companies, and yet it felt like I was working really hard and I was suffering a lot. And at the end of the day, it didn't seem worth it to me. Whereas now I feel like today I work harder than I've ever worked, but it has a different feeling to it. I have time to go to the sauna. You know, I have time to relax and play video games, and I'm doing it because I'm all in, not because I'm trying to achieve something or because I'm in a race. So I'm doing it because like, I really love this work. And I think it's a privilege, you know, cause I have a Taekwondo business where I teach young children, and the coaching business where I get to work with really cool people around the world. It's such a privilege.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's what it feels like.
Yeah. Yeah. But, and I understand, because when we end up in that state, through insight and knowing we are okay, no matter what, it becomes more also obvious, why should we even try to build something that is already whole? But innocently, we start believing that we need to build it and achieve things to feel complete and whole. But then suddenly when we see another side of it, it becomes more easy.
What occurs to me when you said that is, I was watching a brilliant interview. It was like an actor's round table with Adam Sandler, Austin Butler, and a few other gentlemen. I can't remember, but it was a really great interview. And Adam Sandler said something, there's something in the film industry where they said, let's give it another go. Like, we already got the shot. We already got where we wanted, but let's give it another go and see what happens. And that's what it feels like to me in coming from that place of wholeness, is like, we're good. Let's just try shit. let's see how far we can take this. And I am pleasantly surprised by how far things can actually go.
Yeah.
Like, for example, doing a leadership session for a corporate retreat, and part of me is thinking, I wonder if we took this too far. Like, if they're going to find out, all these like all these really senior people are going to listen to me talk about leadership, or like the nature of leadership, or the inside understanding. I'm like, did we take this too far? And then part of me is like, nah, let's just go for it. You know, like we're all going to have a good time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And the good thing is, I don't know how you work. But at the same time, I also know, in some sense, how you will point and how you will work, because I'm guessing a lot of things will come fresh from you in that moment. And most of the times, it will be very fresh for them also to hear something new, compared to if you would talk about, let's look into this decision-making matrix. And
five steps, level five leadership.
Exactly.
Yeah. I love that. I'm going to get t-shirts made, freshness. Like that, that's what it's about to me. It's like fresh.
Yeah.
And coming from that place.
Yeah, definitely. And if the people in that group, in that case, understands what is the purpose, what are we focusing on here? And then just like, trust it, lean back. And then
trust it.
Yeah, exactly. Trust the process. And they, of course, they do. So and another thing that came up is, I tried to find it before our session today when I was like looking for a Facebook post you did a month or two ago about your insight regarding doing a peanut butter sandwich.
Right. I can that share one? That. Yeah, I remember that one.
Yeah. Please share that, because I think that is so like spot on. So
sure. It occurred to me. Well, I first heard it in a Michael Neal class, and then I was like, cool, great insight. I wrote it down. But then as I was actually making a peanut butter jelly sandwich, jam sandwich, it like hit me again. I was like, whoa. So the insight was how, I think as entrepreneurs, founders, creators, we feel like the whole world is on our shoulders. It's on us to create it. And if we don't do it, it's not going to happen. Or we know how to do it the right way. And when we buy into that premise, we just end up biting off way. We take on everything on ourselves, and we end up burning out really quickly or trying to control everything. And so the insight about the peanut butter jam sandwich is that we never do anything by ourselves ever. And so the question is, how many people does it take to make a sandwich, a peanut butter jam sandwich? You want to be like, well, me, I'm in the kitchen. I got my bread. I got my jam. There's no one else in that kitchen but me. And then as you begin to reflect, like, well, somebody had to make the jam. Somebody had to make the knife. Somebody had to make the bread, the wheat, that somebody had to grow it, And then I was sitting there looking at my peanut butter jelly sandwich, having this big insight. I'm like, whoa. And it just occurred to me how held we are by life and how taken care of we are by life. And it really helped me to slow down and lean back and like, wow, like if the amount of people it took for this sandwich to be in my hands, like I'm good. Like I'm just going to go try more stuff and see what else occurs because I know I'm taken care of. And I think as entrepreneurs or founders or business or people, like I think that we often miss that. We don't think we're taken care of. We think it's on us. And then we approach life from a very, well, am I taken care of? And like, it's kind of a fear-based approach that doesn't look like fear. Like, well, I'm just being conservative. I'm being protective. I'm being safe.
Responsible.
I'm being responsible because, you know, like if I don't dump, I'm going to die. Or like, no, who has my back? Nobody's coming to save you. And we don't see that you are taken care of in so many beautiful ways.
And also when I heard that and I read it, I also saw like, reaching out and asking for help to understand that you usually have this saying like, if you want to go fast, go by yourself.
Right,
if you
right,
go
right.
far, go together or something. And I'm at the moment I'm in a creating the impossible course.
Ah, cool, Michael.
And the purpose there is to create something like imagine doing something really, really impossible, like 20% chance of making it. And not making like, just putting in the hard work, then I will succeed. So I have a big idea of doing an event here in Sweden about mental health. And it's I'm starting to flirting with that project and on. But right away I was like, I could ask these people. Oh, I could ask for sponsors. I can. So widening it, because if I looked, it's up to me only to succeed with this, then in that case, I'm like, 100% probably gonna either burn out or I will lose or not achieve anything, right? And coming into the creation more with joy, right? Mm. It's more fun.
I love that process of creating. I'm a big fan of Create the Impossible. And what I've seen fresh, to me, what looks fresh about Create the Impossible is oftentimes, for me at least, it's the like what you do in the Create the Impossible project lays foundations for some for like it's like almost like it creates ripples and things when it comes back to you, you're like, wow, I didn't even think it could be like this or like that, or the one message you wrote or the one person you touched, it created this or that. Like I'm always surprised and delighted by the ripples that when we do attempt to create the impossible, the ripples it creates and inspires people. That you'll never meet and you'll never talk to, but you touched their lives or your project touched their life in some way, somehow.
I think so. And either we can make gentle waves that, I don't know, creates a nice feeling, or sometimes people are creating giant waves that is, destruction. So depending on how we show up, we can in some way choose how we want to create the ripples.
I'm thinking of someone in one of my masterminds, and he is a very successful business person in digital marketing, and he was living his life and showing up to life in a way that was very controlling. It's very like, okay, part like step by step, we're going to do this, we're going to set these goals, and we can only do this much or this much. When he came to the mastermind, you'll like this, he came to the mastermind because he felt lost. He said, Nikon, I don't get it. I've made the money, I'm successful, but I'm lonely and I'm bored. What am I missing here? This isn't supposed to happen. And as he came into the conversation, and we just talked about life, about the insight and understanding, about insight, and there was a mastermind, and he shared with different people in the group. And somebody said something to him and looked him in the eyes and said, like, you're a builder. I said, what did you say to me? It's like, you're a builder, like you build things and you're bored because you're not building anything. It looked really obvious, but he heard it very fresh. Like he didn't say anything for like a good minute. He's like, oh yeah, I like to build and I'm lost because I'm not building anything. Mm. But because he was able to sit in that insight that he couldn't find by himself because he was looking all the wrong directions. And so he became so inspired to create the impossible as a builder. His life completely changed. I think within like 2-3 months, he was working on projects with people he never even dreamed of. And like investors were like, well, I like your idea. Here's $200,000. Like, go for it. And he's like, wow, like no one's ever given me this amount of money just to like do shit. And he's like, and he asked me like, how is this possible? And I said, because you don't need anything anymore. You're good. You're creating from impossibility. You're creating from freshness.
Yeah.
And people want to be, people want to get on that ride.
Yeah.
And he's like, wow, cool. Like, you know, it'd be cool. Like I want to create an incubator so more people can learn this. Like, do you want to play? And I'm like, sure, I'm due for a create the impossible. Like, why not? You know?
Yeah.
And I love that's available for everybody, that insight, the feeling that we're talking about, that and how traditional success doesn't even come close to the playing field that we're talking about.
Yeah, different playing field, definitely. And the insights and understanding is a really game changer. It changes the game totally. And you shared for me, you shared to me that you're having some themes for 2023. And I thought, I really enjoyed them, reading in them. And then it would be fun to just go through them and
sure.
see you explain and elaborate. And
sure.
Yeah. And I'm gonna read them first.
Okay.
Yeah, like not what you wrote to me, but the themes are alignment, simplicity, emptiness/nothingness, and listen and give. So alignment, why is that a theme and what does alignment mean for you?
Right. Cause I've noticed that when I get insecure or up in my head, I tend to lean on control because control helps me settle my mind. Because I'm like, okay, I want to control. Okay, I got to settle. And the problem with that I found for myself is I'm out of alignment with life's natural flow or rhythm or the cosmic winds of destiny, if you call it. I'm like, fuck you, God. I got like I'm gonna do it my way because I'm afraid or I'm a little insecure. And my theme for that is because I would love to spend more time in alignment with that deep knowing of within my, like with deep knowing within my soul and cosmic winds of like of destiny and wherever God points, even if it's pointing me in a direction that I have no idea where I'm going or a place that's far beyond whatever I'm comfortable with, because I've seen for myself that when I'm aligned, man, things happen. I meet cool people like Daniel Magnuson, you know, like cool things happen. And I'm more interested in that ride than my fear-based rides, because I already know what that looks like. I'm doubling down on alignment and just seeing where it takes me. And so far, first month into 2023, I'd say I'm pretty excited. I'm hanging on for dear life, but I'm excited.
Yeah.
And I'm
guessing also the more we see that we are okay and understand also life is a roller coaster. It goes ups and it goes down, but it also comes up again, right?
Yeah.
So even if we're holding on for dear life sometimes in the roller coaster of life, we also know that we are okay. Then it's going to be more fun And I would probably be more scared in a roller coaster because maybe something is loose.
Yeah, something is loose. And I think I love what you said, because what occurred to me fresh when you said that is, I think oftentimes the premise that when people think alignment, they think of, oh, it's only going to be good. It's only going to be highs from here on out. And that's just not how life works.
No.
Alignment is, to me, sometimes life takes you down roads where you got to learn some things that, or see some things that you don't really want to see, but that's part of that journey. I wonder if you can relate. There's so many bad things that I learned, like in really low or dark periods of my life, that became so helpful during the highs or later. It's like, oh wow, that thing happened to me, so I could do this better.
Yeah. I think we'll, as long as we live, we learn. But yeah, it's all about if we are having open eyes and open ears, and seeing the opportunity for learning in some sense, right? Mm. But it's always, life is teaching us lessons, in some sense, always.
One of my coaches, Steph Sibihowski, would say, "Life is always trying to bring you back to yourself." Mm. And however life needs to do that, life's going to do that. And yeah. That's really stayed with me.
Yeah. Is it going to be a hard kick in the stomach or a gentle stroke through on the chin, right? Depending on.
Yeah.
Sometimes it's both in the same punch, maybe. I don't know.
Yeah, maybe.
Yeah.
Cool.
And then you had simplicity.
Yes. This came from towards the end of last year. I went on a Taekwondo immersion in Muju, South Korea. One of the things that I didn't expect I would be doing. And it was by the Korean government, the World Taekwondo Federation, Kukiwon, and the Ministry of Tourism by Korea. It was a really cool. We were like in a Taekwondo resort. Like, this whole place was dedicated to one sport and one sport only, Taekwondo. There were stadiums, there were lecture rooms, and they would bring in these really amazing instructors. And one of them was Hwang Kyung Sung, who was she won three Olympic medals. Two of those were gold. She won three world championships. Two of those were gold. So she was like legend among legend. And we were asking her all these complicated questions about rhythm, about timing, about attack, and about rules. And every complicated question we asked this lady, her answers were very simple. They were like 1-2 word answers. And we were getting frustrated. We're like, okay, is she trying to dumb it down for us? And then it occurred to me, listening to her, I said, oh, it just looks that simple to her. Mm. It really does look that simple to her. And that's why she was so amazing at it. And I thought, wow, I would love to see business and marketing and sales in a much more simple way. Mm. I would love to see money in a more simple way. I would love to see coaching in a more simple way. And if you think about it, when things look simple to us, I wrote a post. I want to write another post about it, about how the things that look simple to us never stress us out. Like getting water or making a sandwich or breathing or the things that used to look complicated to us now but look simple. Like we just don't stress it. We don't have any thinking about it. And I was like, wow, that I would love for that to be a theme for 2023, and just notice the things that don't look simple and make it my intention to see it in a more simple way.
Definitely. And when we getting caught up and struggle, we made something simple complicated.
Mm.
And to really see that, and that's the hard part, I think, because the intellect wanna complicate things sometimes, right? Interesting.
And I've used that as a guiding light, so to speak, especially with doing workshops or trainings. I'd ask people to lean on simplicity and let simplicity take you where it takes you, because it won't fail you.
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. And if we just thinking about workshops and stuff like that, when we not succeed so good as we could, it's probably because we put in too much content and complicated the whole thing, and instead of and we're losing the freshness in that case also, because we need to go through this and this and this and this, and maybe in this case, like, having these themes, right, a word, and then just work from that, and I love that. Okay, good. And now emptiness, nothingness.
I would say this one is probably influenced by, I'm also really into Tao and Zen readings. Michael Neal turned me onto it. I remember the first time I picked up a Tao book, I opened it, I turned it sideways because I thought, okay, maybe if I read it sideways, I'll understand it. I didn't guess, so I threw it. I was like, no. I was like, and then after coming into the inside of understanding and the three principles, one day I picked up the Tao book, I read it, and I was like, oh yeah, I know what they're talking about. Yeah. And a lot of what the Taoist books talk about is being nothingness or being empty, so that the Tao can breathe and move through you. And if I look at it from this perspective of the inside out understanding, is having less of your personal thinking in the way, so innate wisdom can live through you and breathe through you from a more pure place. And I say that a lot. I recognize there's always going to be your personal thinking, like your preferences, your judgments. But I think just being aware of that is incredibly humbling and powerful. Just, okay, what if I put all that down for a second and just showed up like a blank page? I remember during one coaching training, we were watching the famous Jack Pransky, the writer of Modelo, coach a lady from Mexico. And he was an incredible coach. Of the insights he was pulling out of her, the way he was pointing her and guiding her, were like, whoa, it was like watching a Michelin chef work. And we asked him, so how did you do this? How did you do that? And there are two themes in this. He showed up with simplicity and he said, yeah, I just show up like a blank page. I show up empty. And we're like, okay, empty. You know, okay, empty. And then years later, reflecting on it again, like he really does show up like an empty glass and just allows light to pour through him to the person in front of him. And that's been one of the things that has inspired me to be more empty, to have less of Nikon and see where the light wants to go.
And I am, that is very connected with the next theme. Yeah. Listen.
Yeah.
Say it.
Yeah, listening is the theme. I mean, I still get caught up, and I still listen to my insecure thinking. Like I get caught up all the time, and now I'd really like to listen better. To myself, to the wisdom, to learn to hear between the lines, to hear the whispers, the gentle guiding whispers of life, and see where they take you. And just listen better to people too. Even like showing up to sessions sometimes, I'm like, wow, this person really does have a problem, and they're like screwed, and knowing that I'm wrong. You know, like it's like listening to myself, like I have this judgment, but I know I'm wrong, so I'm gonna listen better. And I want to listen more to people. I want to be more curious. I want to listen to my business more, see where the business wants to go rather than where I want it to go. So I think it goes like, as I'm saying this out loud, you're helping me realize that all these themes are interconnected in a way. Like listening is very simple. I want to listen in its most simplest form.
Yeah.
And just see where the listening takes me.
Yeah. 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 And when you do that, you start to noticing, for example, judgment or perceived truth or ideas that is maybe not true, and then letting it go more and more, or also, and that's going to help you in that case, not only you, but everyone who's listening, to not get stuck into to the personal thinking and insecure thinking and all that, and becoming more.
I have a case study if you're interested.
Yeah.
Listening will take you to lunch. So I was at the Museum of Contemporary Art in Bangkok, and I was visiting an exhibition by Arianna Caroli. She's a renowned Italian artist, and she's famous for her big, bright, beautiful paintings of flowers, but she does it in a way where the flowers are arranged in a mandala pattern, mm-hmm. and it's very meditative. And I was there, I didn't say much because I was listening, and Arianna was there, and the artist was there, and she was describing me her processes, she was showing me the paintings, and I was really present, I was really listening, I was taking it all in, her words, like listening to her heart. I was looking at her paintings, I was listening to the paintings, I was really feeling the paintings and getting in almost in a meditative state, so experiencing the paintings. And then I went home and I wrote a social media post about it, about my experience and about what the artist was trying to share and describe, and I posted it. And then I got a call from the artist, and she said, "Wow, you didn't say anything. I didn't think you were listening, but what you wrote was so beautiful. And it describes exactly what I was trying to convey through my art and my words. Would you like to go to lunch with me and a few other of my favorite people in Bangkok? And it's Italian, it's on me." And a week later, I'm sitting at this table with all these, like, these artists, these business people, these curators. And it's like, "Yes, Nikon, he wrote this beautiful post and he's a coach and he really listened." And I'm sitting and I'm sitting there going, "Damn, like who knew, you know?"
Yeah.
Who knew? All you had to do was listen.
Alignment.
Yeah, alignment, simplicity, connection, emptiness, listening. Yeah. Yeah, listening will take you places, I tell you.
Yeah. Oh, wonderful story. And how that, with no intention, like, yeah, now I'm going to listen and be present so she might notice me, so she will invite me to some cool event, right?
Yeah. It started a whole relationship. And
yeah.
And some other cool things might be happening from that too. Just yeah. Like, and as I'm telling you the story, it occurs to me, yeah, it just started with my intention to listen, not to get anything in return, but just to be present and to listen.
Yeah.
And it'll take you places. It will.
And the last theme was give.
I've never told this story publicly, so you're the first person I'm going to tell this story to on a podcast.
And the listeners.
and the listeners. I spoke to in Thailand, astrologists are very popular, or tarot card readers, or earth psychics. And this tarot card guy said to me one day, he said, "Nikon, you have an interesting life." And I said, "Why?" He said, "Most people have to put in a lot of effort to get to where they want to be. They have to put in a lot of physical effort, show up a lot." And in our language, it would be, you really have to show up a lot. And he said, "But looking at your stars, you don't have to do that." And I was like, "Shit, well, what do I have to do then?" He said, "Well, looking at this, the more you give, that's how you'll get ahead." And I was like, "Oh," I had this big like realization. It's like, the more you give to life, the more life will give unto you. And it's actually very biblical. Like, the more you give, the more life will give unto you. And I realized that most of my life I had it backwards, that I was just trying to put in effort so I could get. That was it. That was push, get. I'm going to put in this amount of energy so I can get this. I'm going to train this amount of hours for Taekwondo so I can win gold medals. And this changed, giving changed my perspective of giving my life, giving my energy, giving my time into Taekwondo, allowed me to enjoy Taekwondo and giving to my teammates by like beating the hell out of them so they could be better teammates. and them beating the shit out of me so I could be a better taekwondo player. Those were the times, right? I grew as an athlete, and in my business, the more I gave in my business, the more I received, not because I was trying to receive, but just because I love being in my business. So for example, we recently had Chinese New Year. So we contacted one of the parents in one of our taekwondo gyms, and she's a professional baker. We had her made like 20 boxes of homemade cookies, and we gave those cookies to all of our clients and our partners with handwritten notes. Like, thank you for supporting us. We are your biggest fans. Like, thank you. And to me, that was like an example of when I come from giving, like cool things happen, making someone's day. And that really changed things in my life. So this year, I just want to see how far I can take this giving thing, how far I can go with it. Yeah.
Yeah. And I think, yes, the opposite is get, right? Getting things or take things, right?
Yeah.
And it's very common, like, yeah, give and then give and take. It's a lot about giving and taking. Yeah. And for many years I've been saying, no, it's about giving and receiving.
Right? Oh, I love that distinction. Yeah. Giving and receiving.
Yeah. Mm. And I have a friend who actually is in Pattaya now in Thailand. He has this like mantra or a theme, give to give.
Right.
Like only giving to give, nothing, not expecting anything in return.
Mm.
And when we give with nothing in return, people sense that.
Right.
I would say. And I think it's also important in this case not to diminish or neglect or saying no to people who want to give back.
Yeah, right? Yeah, yeah.
No, you don't need to, right?
Yeah.
If somebody want to give, say thank you.
Mm. Right?
And no, you don't have to give me, or say thank you very much. I'm very pleased. Thank you.
Yeah.
Right. And
right. And I found that it's and in line with what you're saying, what occurred to me was there's a nature of giving and receiving. Like receiving is just a natural part of life. Like you plant a seed, you water it, it grows apples, you eat the apple. Right, it takes care of you. And it goes back to the things we were talking about in the beginning of when you're really okay and at peace with the flow of life, receiving is a very, very big part of life's taking care of you.
Mm.
Like somebody had to grow the wheat, somebody had to make the bread, somebody had to make the jam, invent the business to take care of you, for you to receive bread, peanut butter and jam and a metal spoon so you can make it food at your convenience. That's receiving.
Yeah.
And I think, like I said, when the personal thinking about giving and receiving melt away, and all you have is a very gentle, natural process of life in the universe, that's such a cool way to do business. That's such a cool way to be in life.
Yeah. And suddenly what comes up is effortless.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
It's effortless. And it doesn't mean that you don't need to show up with things, right? Of course, yeah. Right? But in a different state of mind, I guess.
Yeah. Isn't that cool? And I've experienced things where given my whole for projects and like nothing happened from it, but then it came back in ways I never expected. And that's in lieu with the other themes of alignment. Like sometimes you get yours later.
Mm-hmm.
And I was listening to, again, this conversation, an actor's roundtable with Austin Butler, Adam Sandler, and an Irish actor. And it was about the actors who had just kind of reemerged. And one of them was an Asian actor who was a young child actor in Indiana Jones and the Goonies.
Mm-hmm,
and he was recently an actor in, I forgot his name, in Everywhere, Everything at Once with Michelle Yeoh. And He had to wait 25 years before his time came around again from a child actor as an adult, because he said after he became a little bit older, nobody wanted an Asian actor who couldn't do martial arts. But after Crazy Rich Asians happened, that movie, then demand was created for his type of, for his character of an Asian man who doesn't do martial arts. And he won all these awards. And in this interview, he was saying like, it works out. It just might take 10 or 20 years, but it works out.
Yeah.
And that really humbled me, because that was me and my impatient ass. It's like, okay, I need to be successful in 2 years. You know, I need to like hit these numbers, you know. It works out.
Yeah.
The receiving works out too. You just gotta give it some time.
Yeah.
It's not on you. Yeah.
Yeah, it's not on you to decide. And whatever time frame we put up is just made up in the moment. And from a belief that it should take this amount of money, time and money to achieve X, right? But yeah. We never know.
All made out. And I noticed that when my mind isn't on that, I enjoy giving way more.
Mm.
When I'm not, okay, you know, like, I mean, and that's a natural part of business, but I know that when my mind is genuinely on being of service, of giving, I enjoy that so much more.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that open up new doors, I would say.
Yes. Okay. All the time.
Cool. So, Nikon, if somebody would like to come in contact with you or connect, what is the best way? And also, whatever you say, it will be in the show notes, but okay. Sometimes people don't want to look into the show notes or know how to do it. So,
you can connect with me on my website at nikongormley.com, like nikongormley.com. I'm on LinkedIn, on Instagram, on Facebook, anywhere you want to connect, it's good with me. And if Daniel Magnuson says you're cool, that's already a step up in my you move to the top of my list.
Oh, that's good. And is it something you would like to, that you are focusing on, that would be interesting for people to know about?
Actually, yeah, I'm really focusing on getting better at writing in my newsletter. So I have a newsletter that I shoot out. I send a newsletter out every other Monday, and it's cool. I'm doing a cool thing. It's like one insight, one question, and one quote. And that's every other Monday. And it's just the stories I share in that are in lieu. If you like this conversation we had today, the stories that I share in that newsletter are very similar, of case studies, the three principles, my own experiences, quotes. Like, I really enjoy writing to people, and I'm getting better at it. That's my new thing, other thing for 2023.
Yeah.
Just getting better at like writing and connecting with people that way, because I find like I really love it. I really want to get better at it. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And you shared that with me. I was like, yeah, that's nice. Like, just three things the same every second month. Yeah. I will add a link for that too.
Thank you.
Good. So, are there any last words that you want to give to the listeners?
Sure. I'd like to thank you, Daniel Magnuson, for putting this together. And I know how much work goes in behind the scenes to hosting a podcast and editing it and posting it. So I want to shout out to you and just say thank you for your giving and your service to the world, and how blessed everybody in your communities are to have someone like you doing the work you're doing. Like, how cool is that? We're going to have a beer and you're going to teach me some Swedish words. And the last thing I would say, usually I say from Dr. Bill Pettit, you know, just be gentle on yourself. But for, you know, because we're at the beginning of 2023, give it another shot and see what happens. You're good. You got the scene you want. You got the shot you want. Give it another shot and see what happens. See what else. You know, go for the bonuses. Swing for the fences. Try shit.
Tack för att du har lyssnat på det här avsnittet. Är det så att du uppskattar den här podcasten, så får du självklart dela den vidare till dem du tänker kan ha ett behov av att lyssna på den. Det finns också en möjlighet för dig att boka in sig på ett kostnadsfritt coachingsamtal med mig. Det finns inga förbehåll att du måste ha tankar om att bli coachad, utan du kanske har en frågeställning bara så här: det här skulle vara intressant att bolla med Daniel. Så kan jag hjälpa dig på något sätt så gör jag det mer än gärna. Skicka frågan till mig på daniel@humanchange.se. På hemsidan hittar du även videokursen Nyckeln till stressfrihet. Det är en videokurs som jag tillsammans med Danielika Almqvist har skapat. Och det är ett program då för dig som vill ha ett stressfriare liv. Och några vanliga effekter som man kan se efter den här är då minskad stress, oro, frustration och psykisk ohälsa. Ett ökat lugn, välbefinnande, sinnesro med mera. Tack!